Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. Congrats. You're winning a pair of tickets to see the Wizards take on the Atlanta Hawks Tuesday, November 25th at Capital One Arena. Close out the NBA Cup at Capital One Arena with the Wiz. They are wearing their City Edition uniforms, plus the first 10,000 fans are getting Bub Carrington designed pajama pants. This is all courtesy of the Washington Wizards.
We are exclusively sponsored by the law firm of Condori and Morad. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com and be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
Beltway Blitz every day at this time. We give you three teams in town you care the most about, get you a lot of content, jam it into one segment, so let's get to it. NFL Commanders on deck and in the hole. We start on the hardwood with the Wiz, Chase Hughes, Monumental Sports, to get things going. Chase, the Wizards last night did the opposite of kind of their normal thing. Oftentimes they're up early and then they kind of collapse as the game goes on. Last night they were down big at the half. They had a great third quarter. They come all the way back to make it interesting with Minnesota. What'd you make of a 11-point loss to the T-Wolves on the road?
I think all in all, it was a pretty good response to their last game, which was a complete disaster. Over the weekend, they played the Brooklyn Nets, one of the other lowly teams in the league that's probably going to be gunning for the number one pick, and they just got outworked. And the team was really upset with how that game went, because they not only did they feel like they could win it, but they just got out-hustled, and they were not happy about that. So there was a players-only meeting after the game. They really wanted to respond. And I think the effort was much better against the Timberwolves. The thing that did them in is they turned the ball over way too many times in the first half. They dug an early hole, and they were able to claw back offensively. But I think they really missed Alex Starr down the stretch on defense, because Julius Randle kind of took over during stretches around the basket, and they were missing a guy in Starr who's legitimately become one of the better rim protectors in the league.
So, Chase, they played a good team last night and gave them all they could handle. You know, the final score not indicative of, you know, I think it was a two-possession game with a couple minutes left. Here is my gripe. I love me some Trey Johnson. He had a couple beautiful kind of mid-range, very mature, smart buckets, one over Rudy Gobert on a pull-up and another really nice bucket. And then he sat down. Crunch time minutes against a good team, whether you win or lose, you know, to me is secondary. But on the court, it was a lot of C.J. McCollum, a lot of Chris Middleton. I would have loved a Bub Carrington, Trey Johnson, Cam Whitmore, some combination therein to get that kind of experience too in a game like that against a good team. So that frustrates you a little bit. Tag, you're it.
Yeah, I understand that. I think what I've learned this season is that Brian Keith's priorities kind of shift from game to game, and sometimes it's about matchups. I think in this particular game, they really wanted to recover from a tough first half and have a more competitive effort on the heels of what happened against Brooklyn. And so it kind of depends on the game. I wouldn't be surprised if Trey Johnson played more meaningful minutes the next time out. And the reason why I've kind of come to this conclusion is Cam Whitmore's playing a lot more lately. But if you go back a couple weeks ago, he seemingly was in the doghouse and his minutes were going down and down and down. And Brian Keith started to get asked about it. And then all of a sudden, Cam Whitmore's been playing a lot more and been playing better. So I think it sort of ebbs and flows within their rotation. Trey Johnson, I think by the end of the season in particular, is going to be playing a lot of minutes. I think especially in the second half of the year, they'll open things up even more for their young guys. So I think it's just a game-to-game thing at this point.
Chase Hughes, Monumental Sports on the Wiz. You know, I had joked, somebody had mentioned the record or whatever, they're 1-13, and I said, hey, the plan's coming along perfectly. But I do feel that way. Like, small part of me was kind of concerned. What if they don't protect this pick? Well, they're going to protect it. They might end up being the highest odds team with a couple others to get the number one pick in an amazing draft, which it sounds like is kind of an all-timer.
Yeah, I think the pick protection is just a really important point that's got to be made, right? If they fall out of the top eight, then they lose their draft pick, and it'd be a very tough time in their rebuild for that to happen. And particularly with the draft class that is shaping up in college basketball, I do think it is one of the best draft classes we've seen in a long time. I think these things kind of venture into the hyperbole territory. I saw a report recently that, you know, maybe Cooper Flagg wouldn't even go top five this year. I think that's absolutely ridiculous. I think both him and Dylan Harper would be top five picks. But I think you might have three guys this year who would be in the running for the number one pick in most years. Darren Peterson at Kansas, A.J. DeBanza at BYU, and Cam Boozer at Duke. And I also really like a local guy, Nate Ament, who's at Tennessee. He's like 6'9", 6'10", can handle the ball and shoot like a guard. And there's a bunch of other names I could list. I'm sure we'll talk more about it in the future. But, yes, it's a very good draft class.
Chase, thank you as always, buddy. Have a great weekend.
Absolutely. You too, guys.
Hit that NFL sounder, please. Frank Schwab, Yahoo Sports, joins us to go around the National Football League. Frank, I'm a believer in Denver, even though their offense isn't very good. Are they a legit Super Bowl contender in your mind?
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I've been saying that for a few weeks now. I don't know when this happened or why, or maybe it's been going on and I didn't notice, but it just seems like we've ignored defense. Like, if you have a good defensive team and your offense isn't that great, you're just dismissed as pretenders. I mean, for example, Philadelphia Eagles have given up 16 points combined the last 2 weeks against the Lions and Packers, and all we talk about is A.J. Brown is unhappy.
Like, that's a great point.
There's another side to this, too. And with the Broncos, I've said this a million times. I'm going to keep saying it. There are two losses. No time left on the clock at the Indianapolis Colts, who might be the best team in the AFC. No time left on the clock at the Los Angeles Chargers, who are a playoff team. They're that close to being 11-0. And they have a great head coach. They have a great defense. Yes, their offense has been up and down. There's no question about that. But I also kind of trust Sean Payton to get the most out of it as we go forward here. So, yeah, I mean, you could dismiss the Broncos all you want. That's fine. But, I mean, the results are the results. And they're a pretty strong 9-2 team that I think is clearly the favorite to win the AFC West right now.
If one of these expected powerhouses that's not currently a playoff team ends up actually not making the playoffs, which would you assume it to be, the Lions or the Chiefs?
Probably the Chiefs, just because I don't see a path for them to win the division. I do see a path for the Lions to win the division. So you get in with the Chiefs, you're talking about, okay, you got to be a wild card. That's fine. But you have tiebreaker problems against the Chargers right now. You got tiebreaker problems against the Jaguars. You got it gets tough. Like, they've lost five games, and it's all close game luck. It really is. Like, I know this sounds weird, but I know they went 15-2 last year and they're 5-5 this year. I don't think there's that much difference between last year's team and this year's team, quality-wise. I think they're pretty much the same team. It's just they were 11-0 in close games last year, and they're 0-5 in close games this year. But that adds up, and now you got to go at least 5-2 the rest of the way to make the playoffs. And I think they will. If you look at their schedule, I think it lines up where, okay, you got to play the Colts, you got to play the Chargers, you got to play the Broncos. Well, all three of those are at Arrowhead Stadium, so that definitely helps. And I think that they do it, but I just think the Lions' path, I think they're going to win that division. I think they're a very, very good football team. Now, when it's looked bad for them, it's looked really bad. Like, they've had some really weird games, but I do think the Lions are a better chance to make the playoffs than the Chiefs, although I think both make it in.
Who's the best team in the NFC?
I don't see why it wouldn't be the Eagles. Like, I got a lot of respect for the Rams. I think they're very, very good. I think the actual answer to the question might be the Seahawks. I don't really care that they lost at L.A. Like, Sam Darnold had four interceptions. They had all these issues in the red zone, and yet they're lining up for a 61-yard field goal at the end of the game to beat the Rams. I mean, I don't think any less of the Seahawks after Sunday than I did before. I don't think Sam Darnold's going to throw four interceptions again in the game this year. So I look at the Rams Seahawks, perfectly reasonable picks. I think the Lions actually are still in that discussion. But why wouldn't it be the Eagles? Like, again, yes, I get it. Their offense has been up and down. They still only lost two games. One was, yeah, they blew the fourth quarter against the Broncos at home. And then they had the weird loss against the Giants on Thursday. I've never seen a more unhappy team and fan base of a good championship team than the Philadelphia Eagles this year. Like, it's weird. Like, they've won a championship. They're really, really good again this year. They play in a division they're going to run away with by five games. And yet all season has just been complaints, complaints, complaints. And I look at it like that means they're undervalued, to be honest. I think that the Eagles are – look, Lane Johnson injury is a thing. Like, that's not going away. That's tough. But I look at the Eagles, it's like, why isn't this the best team in the NFC? Like, they're winning games. They still have all that star power. The defense has come around the last couple of weeks. I have no reason to say it's not the Eagles in the NFC.
Frank Schwab of Yahoo Sports. How do you think Shedeur Sanders will play in his first start against the Raiders?
Probably poorly. he's a fifth-round rookie who started the training camp fourth on the depth chart. Now, I will say this. What we saw last week, if you're making sweeping conclusions off of that, like, that's ridiculous too. Like, a rookie came in cold, off the bench, thrown into a situation, and he played poorly. Like, okay, what are you going to do? Like, all the nonsense about, oh, they don't like it, or, you know, they're setting him up to fail because they didn't give him reps with the first team. It's just ridiculous. It's literally ridiculous. Backups don't get first-team reps, especially when you're trying to develop a rookie quarterback you have ahead of Shedeur of the pecking order. Right? You want to give Dylan Gabriel as many reps as he can get. And if you get into a situation where, all right, your backup is a rookie who's never played a game, which is not ideal. I don't think Kevin Stefanski wanted that. I don't really think he liked that Joe Flacco trade, if I had to read between the lines here, because you don't want that situation where a rookie just goes in cold. But if that happens, that rookie's going to struggle. There's no way around it. You're screwed for the rest of the game. Like, it is an unwinnable situation for the team and the player, and Shedeur didn't do well. So I do want to see him this week. You get a full week of repetitions. You get, you know, mentally prepared to be the starter, physically prepared to be the starter. You're playing against a defense that's not really that good. The Raiders, I mean, if anybody saw them play on Monday night, you know that's barely an NFL football team at this point. So let's see what he does on Sunday. Now, do I think he's going to do well? I don't. I still think he's a fifth-round rookie making his first career start. I wouldn't bet on any fifth-round rookie making their first career start to play well. But he's got a much better chance than he did last Sunday, and it's a much more fair assessment of where he is as a player, what we're going to see on Sunday.
Frank, thank you as always, buddy. Have a great weekend.
Yep, absolutely. Appreciate it.
Yep, dude. We'll see you later. Hit that local 53 sounder, please. We couldn't find anybody. We're trying to find someone to talk with about the Washington football guys. They're on bye this week, et cetera. We struck out everywhere. Just now, moments ago, Ryan went out to pick up an Uber Eats order, and delivering the food was our guy, Chris Russell, who hopped on up here to discuss the Washington 53 with us. What's up, man?
I brought you guys a Thanksgiving feast. I thought you might be hungry in time for the holidays.
So nice of you.
You're a sweet prince.
Right.
Thank you, bud.
Anything from my guys.
A lot to get to on the Commanders, but let's start with them releasing Matt Gay, bringing in Jake Moody.
Yeah, talked to Gay on Sunday after the game in Madrid, and he was, as you would imagine, very despondent, very frustrated. He said he kicked the 56-yarder at the end of regulation. He thought he nailed it. He thought he hit it great, perfect operation. He couldn't believe it went as far wide right as it did, and it did tail pretty sharply. The 51-yarder, I then asked him, I said, did you feel the same way about the 51-yarder earlier in the second quarter? He said, yeah. He's like, I thought I hit it great. He's like, it's just crazy indoors, you know, field turf, whatever, that the ball just did not go the way I wanted it to go. And I didn't think at the moment, guys, I'll be honest with you, that they were going to cut him Monday. I thought what would happen would be they would have like a tryout for a bunch of guys this upcoming Tuesday after they kind of got back in the building, and then maybe they would move on from him next week. And instead they did Monday, which I applaud them for, because even though they spent a good amount of money on him, he obviously was not doing the job even before last Sunday. But then it became so much unsavable, if you will, on Sunday in Madrid, that they really had no other choice. Now, I don't know if the guy that's going to replace him, Jake Moody, is going to be the answer either. But this just goes to show, like, for all of the questions and criticism, I don't know how you guys, if you guys have talked about this week, for all of the questions and criticism about the defense, about this, about Jaden, about what, Adam Peters and Dan Quinn have been through like 10 place kickers since they got here.
It's been a lot.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, they thought it was settled, and they thought they didn't have to worry about it, and they moved to the next column, and, you know, the McManus thing happened, and we've been on a carousel ever since.
Yeah. But it's been really bad.
Yes, it has been. What do you expect the rest of the way from Terry McLaurin? I feel like we just kind of stopped talking about it, whether it was Daniels' injury or the relevant football is over or whatever, but it was we were on Terry watch every second of every day. Then it got hurt again in Kansas City, and I think everyone just went, psh, whatever.
People say, lost year, why bring him back, right? Or just shut it down. I don't believe that. I think he should come back as soon as he is ready and medically cleared and football cleared to come back. I don't believe the second injury was because he wasn't ready to go from the first injury. I know it was similar, but I don't believe it was connected the way people want to necessarily connect it. I just think it was a bad fall and something similar to how he was dragged down in that Raider game, which caused the first injury. That being said, I understand it's not a good look. And I understand, like, hey, if he's going to miss 5 or 6 weeks, there might not be anything to salvage or gain by bringing him back for the last 3 or 4 weeks. But the way I look at it is, if you are going to, never mind feel good about next season or feel good going into the offseason so that we're not so worried and so panicked, you need to figure out a way to get back on the same page as the rest of your teammates, as Jaden Daniels, assuming that he comes back. And they need to figure out whether Deebo Samuel is a must re-sign or not. And the only way I think you start to answer those questions, I'm not saying you're going to have a full dose of data, is by getting Terry back on the field and having him stay on the field, which he hasn't since week 3.
Is there a player, just give me one younger guy, who you'd like to see used differently, better, more extensively to get a hard look at the rest of the way?
That's a great question.
You want me to rattle names off? I'm thinking McGee is the green dot.
I mean, Jordan McGee, yeah, sure.
I'm thinking Ben Sinnott, Les Ertz.
I mean, all of that
Coleman
is fair.
Coleman again at guard over Paul, who's a free agent or something like that.
All of those are fair. The one name that I guess kind of comes to mind that you haven't mentioned is Tyler Owens.
I feel like he's playing a bunch.
I know. I would like to see more. You know, I'd like to see him and Will Harris when Will Harris is ready to return, which it sounds like there's a chance for next Sunday night. I'd like to see how that combination looks at safety. You know, I'm trying to think of somebody else.
Here's one. What about, I mean, this guy is probably ultimately a Jag, but like Jacoby Jones showed something. What about him over Chris Moore in that big physical receiver role?
Yeah, well, but then they cut him yesterday, and then they bring him back on the practice squad. Yeah, or I was thinking, well, what is Ja'Cory Brooks?
Yeah,
right. I mean, he was kind of,
because you could elevate Jones, you could elevate Brooks.
Yeah, right. But something like that, right? The other thing that I would, the other thing that I would also say is, do you have anything in Donovan Edwards here? You know, can he contribute at running back and maybe give them, because they seem to be going by committee as Bill kind of tails off here a little bit. Rodriguez kind of, the arrow is up, but then they go away from him. Can Donovan Edwards give you a little something?
Well, I'll tell you, there are a couple guys. First, just real quick, Tyler Owens did not play a snap on defense this past week. I was surprised by that because we saw him, remember, in Kansas City.
Yeah.
He was basically, he was the guy that was on the field, and they go, okay, you come off now
was
or you stay on, depending
on. Was
he
healthy this week?
He was on teams, every play on special
teams.
So
I assume that was a health thing. That's interesting otherwise, especially when Quan Martin got benched.
I didn't realize he didn't play at all. I just thought he didn't play a lot, but I would like to see more of him.
So my guy's Johnny Newton. Like, what are we doing here? Yeah. I've been beating the drum about Sinnott for a while, and yes, I still think that, but I can't have a healthy Johnny Newton, a second-round pick from last year that we were told is a first-round talent who's a disruptor, sitting behind Eddie Goldman, who came off his couch, getting less snaps than Jalen Holmes, less snaps than Sheldon Day, and you go down the list. Come on, let's go. Featured player type stuff here. Move him around. Try something different. If, you know, what are you going to do, give up a lot of running yards?
Johnny Newton. I thought he was going to be an impact player. He's a rotational piece who, as Danny said, is getting out snapped by Jags.
The way I still look at Johnny Newton, though, and maybe this is wrong, because I know he did play a bunch last year, I still kind of look at this as almost his rookie plus year.
I do too, but even in your rookie year, yeah, it's going in the wrong direction.
I know.
Let's say he was actually a rookie this year,
yeah,
and this was what was happening. You're still in week 12 getting out-snapped by Sheldon Day and Jalen Holmes.
I look at what happened in the Chargers game where I really thought, okay, this is the Johnny Newton that we kind of – remember he had the deflection on the Quan Mikey Sanristil interception. He had a sack, I think, in that game. And I talked to him in the locker room before the Monday night game, that Saturday before the Monday night game against the Bears, and I thought he was starting to come on. And
he had a great pass rush on Monday night, and he got penalized, if you remember, on his hit on Mahomes on a sack. But
we haven't seen much
since. Here's
what
I thought, coming out of Illinois. You would get plays like that once a week or once every 2 weeks. He would make some awesome rush, some big-time TFL, and you can count him on one hand in two seasons, basically.
Yeah.
Which is pretty surprising.
It hasn't been enough. No doubt. Remember, double foot surgery. I mean, he ran out of feet to get surgery on.
Yes.
You know?
You don't have a third foot.
No.
He's Chris Russell, boys and girls. Thank you, pal. We appreciate you guys.
Thank you, buddy.
There is your Beltway Blitz. Next, is it a big deal when teammates are at odds? The Eagles are basically telling everyone, who cares if A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts like each other? Is that a real thing? I mean, does that eventually catch up to you? That's next on Grant and Danny.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan, taking you up to 6:30 this evening. Frank Schwab was just talking about the Eagles. He made a fantastic point. They're really, really good, and their defense is now playing at a Super Bowl level. And yet the story about them is their offense and the relationship between A.J. Brown, who pops off on social media more often than I change clothes, and their quarterback, Jalen Hurts, who's been struggling a bunch. I've got a couple of clips here I want to play to set this discussion up, but I guess what I realized, and maybe it was an epiphany of sorts for me, because I've been saying, well, A.J. Brown's not happy, and it's going to kind of ruin the relationship between him and Hurts, and it's going to hurt the offense, and you know it's probably going to keep them from getting to their goals if their wide receiver one and their best player on O, not named Barkley, is at odds with the quarterback. Maybe it won't. Maybe it does not matter that much if they don't get along. As long as A.J. Brown keeps doing his job, and Jalen Hurts keeps doing his job. Is it that different than any other workplace if you're not getting along with someone? Like, that happens. And I don't know that it is a big deal if A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts aren't seeing eye to eye. But here's the two clips I want to play for you. The first is DeSean Jackson, who effectively, now a head coach, by the way, at Delaware State. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
What an insane time we live in. But DeSean Jackson, who just randomly became a head coach this year, the very mature head man talking about the relationship, and he's saying, sounds like from what he knows, A.J. Brown is just not a Jalen Hurts fan. This is what he had to say.
I don't like to criticize people, but, I'm a realist, and I got to speak the facts. I feel like he's brought a lot of attention upon himself. I think he's a hell of a talent. As a wide receiver, you should want the ball. But when you're in the instance where you're doing these gimmicks, or you're out on social media, or you're on Twitch, or you're saying all this, it brings more attention to you, right? And if you're going to bring the attention to you, that means you have to be on your game that much more. Your game got to be superior. Your game got to be top tier. And I feel like the attention he's allowed himself to bring to now, it's like, it's a few passes that are thrown his way, one-on-one coverage, and he's giving up, and he's not running full speed. Like, all that stuff you probably could have got away with if you didn't bring all this attention to yourself. But now, it's like, we see it all. And as you could tell, it's something else going on. And I got a great relationship with him. I respect him. I can't say it, but I know it's something else going on. That it's not all about football. It's not about X's and O's. I've had situationships with quarterbacks that I didn't necessarily like. And I'm going to just be honest. And when it ain't there, it sticks out like a sore thumb. That's all I'm going to say.
So the end there is really interesting to me, where Cliff notes, I know him personally. I shouldn't really say it. There's something else going on here. I personally have had situations where I didn't like quarterbacks, and when it's not there, it sticks out. He's telling you that he doesn't think, or maybe that he knows.
Right, here's something relatable to the current situation. Right. I didn't like a bunch of quarterbacks I played with.
Oh. But the bigger thing, the first part of this, was him kind of talking about, in the game against the Lions, he thought there were a few plays where A.J. Brown didn't either go 100% or didn't make the play he needed to make when all eyes were on him after popping off all week. But again, that was DeSean Jackson's take on that relationship. Now, again, this is all about the Eagles, so you know Jason Kelsey's going to be involved. He was on WIP, our sister station in Philly, and I actually found this context pretty interesting too, where he talked about being best friends with Lane Johnson. Of course, Kelsey was the longtime center. Johnson's been a right tackle there throughout his entire career. Kelsey was like the veteran leader in the room, and they went months without talking over a disagreement. Listen to this.
I think the quotes on Jalen, I think that there are frustrations within a team that build up continually, and I think Jalen gets a lot of the highlighting of that again because he's the quarterback. Me and Lane Johnson 1 year, I'll put this out there. Me and Lane Johnson 1 year at the end of Chip Kelly's career, Lane made a comment in the media, said something along the lines of, you know, we're the up-tempo offense is way too hard on us in practice, and we're working too difficult, and guys are getting fatigued. And I remember reading that, and I'm like, dude, and I went out and said something in the media and said, you know, what does Lane know? Lane's only been with the Philadelphia Eagles. How does he know what it feels like to do other practices? He's only practiced with Chip Kelly. So he's saying something and parroting something from what other guys are saying. And, like, to be honest, I think we're pretty pampered here in Philadelphia. And Lane then made another comment. Lane and I didn't talk for an entire offseason.
Mm. Wow.
Lane is, like, one of my best friends. Like, I love that guy. And this is part of being on a team. There are so many ups and downs. And, like, I've gotten into yelling matches with Jeff Stoutland, a guy that I consider, like, almost like a father. This thing brings out emotions and sides of people because you all want to win
so bad. The stakes are so high.
So I found that contextualizing pretty important and interesting, too. So I guess this is the question I've got. If this A.J. Brown-Jalen Hurts relationship is as bad as it appears, and Brown, who it just seems like he's constantly egging him on publicly with emojis.
Like, it's every time you think it's settled, a new thing happens.
Exactly.
Right?
And now you're on a stream playing video games with some guy, and you're talking about how bad the offense is and drop me in fantasy. And even when you're not taking shots at the quarterback, which it feels like you're taking shots at the quarterback, that's the assumption. Like, the damage has been done now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You can't even say anything about the offense or your coach that isn't taken as a shot at the QB because you've done it so many times, and that has been the target. And now you've got guys that know you like DeSean Jackson saying in the media publicly, yeah, he doesn't really like the quarterback. Is that something that inevitably derails you, or does it not matter that much?
It's not what you would prescribe for a team, but there are countless, and I mean this, countless examples of teams with internal conflicts, teams that had guys that either famous rivalries or flat out didn't like each other, that had great success.
But in football, we hear all the time, like, the teams that accomplish, it's because of the locker room and totally how special it was, and it's because of?
Oh, what's the word? You could say brotherhood.
Boom. This is not a brotherhood.
No. But again, I even in
this is the city of brotherly love, but it's not a brotherhood.
And even with the Eagles, I mean, did Donovan McNabb and Terrell Owens get along on their way to a Super Bowl to four straight NFC title games? Now I know Owens wasn't there for all four, but they couldn't stand each other.
But
and Owens
could
was
they
doing
have
the same
accomplished
act.
More. They never won a Super Bowl together.
Totally.
And I don't remember how many title games they got to together. Maybe one. If it was two, then fine. But like I don't know. Could they have accomplished more?
Maybe.
Was Owens held back? Was McNabb held back? I don't know the answer to that. Yeah. I think it would have been better if it was a harmonious relationship where it's, you know, Manning and, you know, pick your 1,000-yard receiver.
Reggie Wayne
years,
or whatever.
Marvin Harrison.
Yeah. I mean, you go back to the 86 Mets where Strawberry and Keith Hernandez are fighting every month, among other guys. Kobe and Shaq hated each other while they were playing together.
I'm glad you bring those up. This is wide receiver and quarterback. It's not running back and guard. It's not linebacker and safety, which I comp more to basketball. Like, yes, we're passing the ball. We're moving. You're setting screens. I'm coming off of them, all that. But, like, I need you to throw me the ball, and on every play, you have a choice not to. And when you throw me the ball, you need to make me right. And if even subconsciously your demeanor toward me suffers enough that kind of what DeSean Jackson was, I'm not saying this, but DeSean Jackson did, like he gave up on a play and just kind of stopped running or whatever, that shows up. I think the fact that it's receiver quarterback is a big problem for me.
Hmm.
Whereas even if it was Barkley Hurts, yes, there's an exchange where you're handing off the ball. Okay, whatever. But it's just not the same. I'm depending on you to get me what I need to be happy. I can't make myself happy without you. My entire well-being here relies upon you, the guy that I'm beefing with. That's not a good place to be.
No, again, if you were to pick on a binary, would you rather be there or not be there? You'd pick not. But it all depends on who's involved. And I know it may just sound like a cop-out, but to me, Jalen Hurts is such an adult. Like, he's going to do the right thing. Like, he's not going to turn down A.J. Brown if he's open just because he's mad at him or because the guy, like, said something stupid in the media. Like that's not who I think he is.
Right. Now, but if you guys aren't working together after practice for the 10 minutes, if you're not doing all the little things, you're not on the same page, and now he goes left, you throw deep, and it's an interception.
Totally possible.
And that kind of stuff has happened this year. Now, I'm not saying it's because they don't get along, but that is the question. Does it matter if teammates... And I'm not even going to say aren't buddies, because I think the answer to that's obviously no. But I mean, on the field, they are not meshing. They are not gelling. They clearly don't see everything the same way right now, and it is being affected by their relationship. Is that fixable? Is it salvageable? Or are they just good enough in other places because you got Devontae Smith, because you got Saquon Barkley, because you've got a stellar offensive line, because your defense all of a sudden might be the best in the conference where it just won't matter that much? 800-636-1067. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
What's up, guys? Danny Ruya here from my friends and my realtors. That's Sarah and Debbie Reynolds with Keller Williams Realty. I love these guys. They're so good at this. They're also giving back to the community. So this is today and tomorrow from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. if you're affected over the course of the federal shutdown and you would like free grocery bags filled with Thanksgiving food items as well as gift card. Their office is in Chantilly. Just show your federal ID to 4200 Pleasant Valley Road, Suite A in Chantilly, Virginia, and you'll get that donation. They want to give back. And you want to give back as well, you can help at EmpowerHomeGives.com. Monetary donations, donate items as well to that. They are great at this, and they're also great at serving the community, both by giving back and getting your home sold. That's right, that you deserve, if you want to sell your home, more than just a sign in the yard. They've got a proven marketing strategy to get it sold. They will bring you the offers. They have real strategies. They can execute with precision. They will craft a program that will work for you. I've seen it happen. It's how they get their clients $30,500 more than the average agent. Don't do average. Go with the best. That's Sarah and Debbie Reynolds. Give them a call just like we did. 844-654-SOLD. 844-654-SOLD. Or go to DebbieHasTheBuyers.com.
With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. 6:30 is when we say goodbye tonight and get you ready for Caps hockey. Second night of a back-to-back, and they're on the road in Montreal. No Nick Dowd, did not make the trip. So you're down a man, and you're playing a second in two games. I know Montreal's not playing great, but they are better in the standings than Washington. So this will be a test, but if they can get two more points tonight, they are on their way to fixing some of their early season issues. They'll climb back into the playoff picture. That's how jumbled up, by the way, the Eastern Conference is. For those of you that aren't tracking too closely, the NHL right now, as we get closer to the midway point of the season, basically you win 2-3 games in a row, you can leapfrog like 7-8 teams. They were bottom five in the NHL before their win last night. They win again, there'll be a playoff team on paper.
That division especially is incredibly jumbled. Everybody's sort of right. I think there's three teams that are either 10-8 or 10-9 or 10-7. Everyone's all right there. But yeah, it is. It's still tight enough early where you don't have a lot of separators yet.
So we were just talking Eagles and the relationship between A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts. So here's my 2025 Eagles take. I now believe that while this relationship's not going to be repaired and it's going to be awkward for the rest of the year, and the second they're eliminated, he'll pop off or whatever, I don't think this will be their undoing. And I actually think there's a really good chance they can come out of the East again in the NFC. They're going to win the division, obviously, but the Rams are every bit as good. I think Seattle, every bit as good. There's not another team in the conference right now that I think could give the Eagles a run for their money in a playoff game. You just saw them play Detroit. They dismantled them. Maybe it'd be closer next time. Green Bay, flawed. San Francisco, they got problems. So right now, I got the Eagles, the Rams, and the Seahawks kind of alone in their own tier in the NFC. So they have a great chance to get back to the Super Bowl, be their third one under Sirianni, and win a Super Bowl. Oh, by the way, for the second time.
Yeah, great chance to have home field because, as you said, the NFC West is going to keep beating each other up a little bit. They're going to cruise in their division, talking about the Eagles. So this is one of those, like, we're so narrative-driven. I don't mean you and me, but I mean us all of us in sports. So everyone's kind of waiting in the wings, right? They're just sort of waiting with their little notepad going, the instant they lose, they'll go, aha, quarterback-receiver relationship. See, I had it the whole time. It was dysfunctional. And if they win, no one will bring it up, and it'll just be a footnote, and it'll be one of those 30-for-30 type stories.
I think people only pounce on it if it's ugly, obviously, between them. If they're arguing on the sideline in the loss, if A.J. Brown goes 2-for-13 and is getting separated from Jalen Hurts, like that's when it would become a thing. I don't think just they lose a 27-23 game and he goes 5-for-61. People say, it was the locker room. That relationship did them in.
See, I do. I think it's everyone's waiting to do that, right? Where they're waiting for the expected title team to fall or the fall from greatness. And how did it happen? I mean, the first year, again, I bring up Kobe and Shaq. First year, they didn't win it all. And it took Phil Jackson to come in and do all of his Zen this and Zen that. And you read this book and you meditate for 25 minutes and you guys get in the same room. No one's allowed to leave until you have exchanged Christmas gifts or whatever, right? And then they won the whole thing. And you know they don't get along, but they figured it out, right? And it was the story in sports when they didn't win it all. Like the same first year, the Heat that didn't win it, et cetera. Not because they were, there was discord, but that was the biggest story because of the hype and the expectation. This has been so covered, right? This is like, the Frank Schwab's point, he joined us earlier, their defense just turned in one of the great 2-week periods in the history of this sport. And we're like, AJ Brown's pissed. That's the story coming out of there, not the fact that they're going to host all the playoff games again.
Yes, because he's one of the three biggest stars on the team, and he publicly does and says all this stuff. If they were handling it in the locker room, it wouldn't be a story. You might get the occasional question about why is he only averaging, you know, 50 yards a game, and why is he on pace for 863 yards in the season or whatever. But this would not be known. I mean, you can't air your dirty laundry out publicly constantly and then be like, why is everyone talking about
it? Why is everyone discussing it?
I mean, it's the starting quarterback of one of the best sports cities in America. And I don't mean that in terms of, like, admirable fan bases, but passion, interest, sellouts, buy-in, you know, talk radio, all that stuff. I mean, they're grinding all day on sports in that town. That's all they do. It's Phillies, it's Flyers, it's, you know, Eagles, and they just kind of, you know, 76ers and all four teams, and it's the quarterback and the number one receiver. It's the top two probably jerseys outside of Saquon Barkley in the crowd, and these guys are at odds, and the wide receiver's constantly kind of trolling the quarterback, it feels like. But I do think, by the way, this is his final season there. I would be stunned
AJ Brown,
if he's back next year. Yeah, you're not, I mean, Hurts isn't going
anywhere. I was like, I don't think that's what you meant.
Hard to find a quarterback. He's a franchise quarterback. He's won a Super Bowl. And as you said earlier, he is a pro. He's a leader of men. He is, you know, whisper quiet, literally and figuratively, in terms of, you know, bringing issues on the organization. You'll never have one from Jalen Hurts. He's just such a grown-up, such an adult. But A.J. Brown is a guy that I think a lot of teams would try to acquire. Like, if you were to trade for him this offseason, you would pick up what could be a deal you could get out of after a year at $24 million against the cap, but you could possibly have him for four more years because of that extension. You'd have him in 26, 27, 28, and 29. And I'll bet you there'd be a line around the block of teams that would want A.J. Brown. Even though you leave Tennessee at odds with the Titans, you leave Philadelphia at odds. Like, look at James Harden and some of these guys. If you're really, really talented, and A.J. Brown is one of the three most talented receivers maybe in all of football, you've never stood near him or been in the stadium and
just a monster.
Seen him up close. He's a gigantic dude who can run. There's going to be suitors.
Yeah. George Pickens, man. You know, like, when it's going well, it looks great, doesn't it? But, you know, you're going to have to suffer that time where it doesn't, and you hope that your team culture can overcome that.
Bargov's waiting in Gaithersburg. I think he wants to hop in on the Caps. What's up, Bargov? How are you, buddy?
Yo, what up, guys? Thanks for taking my call on this real quick. Yeah, I went to the Cavs game last night, man. It was amazing. First Cavs game in like 10-plus years.
Are you serious?
I was pretty close. Yeah. I know. It's wild. And I was on the top row of my college. So now, shout out to my brother-in-law. He's got great seats. I was actually pretty close to you, GP.
We were like four
rows up from the glass. And so exhilarating. It's wild. I went to a Wizards game like 2 weeks ago. That arena turns from a broken down, like a truck, you know, like a food truck to a Michelin star restaurant for the Caps. I mean, it's insane.
It's funny.
Like,
it is night and day.
I couldn't even believe.
When I go to a Wizards game,
it's hard to believe it's the same building.
Yeah, you're like, where am I? What is this place? I mean, the difference, and it's understandable. The Capitals have made the playoffs in all but 2 years over the last close to 20, I think it is. And they've got a recent championship, albeit 2018 feels like a long time ago. But the product is, it's just a winning culture. It's every year, if you pay for season tickets, if you drop the expensive amount you do on those tickets, you get an ROI. And for the Wizards, none of those things are true.
Yeah, no, there's a legit fan culture. They're unified. It was buzzing. Like, it's one day later. I'm still literally buzzing off that game. Just, it was so exhilarating and so fun. So, yeah, shout out to the Caps, man. DMV sports fans out there, definitely recommend to get out to a Caps game.
And you got a good one to go to as well, by the way. 11 goals combined, 7 for the good guys, couple empty netters, which in a was a tight game in that moment, turn it into what looks like a laugh on paper. That's a lot of fun.
When you go to a Caps game, I want to see a bunch of goals. I want to see Tom Wilson messing with people, at least, or fighting people. You got the chirping part. He was trying to take on all comers last night after a whistle. And then you want to see the Caps win. So that's kind of the Gordie Howe, and we'll call it the Ovi hat trick, and you got that. You got Ryan Leonard's best game of the year, 2 goals as well. But he's so right. That's why I go to so many games, honestly. It is, without question, the best sports experience you're going to have in Washington, D.C. I want to get out to a Spirit game and take my daughter, because I've heard that Audi Field for those games gets rocking pretty good. And they're actually in the championship game, not at home. But this weekend, they just won a semifinal game at home. I know my daughter would enjoy that, and I think just taking the kids out there would be fun.
Doing anything in Audi Field works for me.
Yeah, Audi Field for the Defenders is great. A couple of times I've been out there for DC United or anything else, like just a great venue. But I would imagine for a playoff game for the women's soccer team where they've got like 14,000 diehards who are all in, that would be pretty cool. But I have not experienced anything recently since the Nats were in the playoffs in 19. Because when they're cooking, that can be pretty fun over at Nats Park too.
Yeah.
Like that playoff run Nats.
Yep.
Fan base where everyone's throwing drinks on each other after Juan Soto gets a hit in the outfield. But it's the Caps. It's like 18,000 car lengths. And then maybe like a primetime Commanders game last year against Atlanta when they're really
I was gonna good. How has for the football team, have they closed the gap at all in
they
terms
had.
Of presentation? I don't mean like winning and losing.
Oh,
that's obvious.
Totally.
Yeah.
Presentation.
But you know
crushes.
What I mean? Like
yes.
Obviously this is a terrible year.
Yes. But. Their presentation has gone from a 1 to like an 8, I think, in terms of what's on the screen and how they're doing some things and, you know, like banging of the spear and like all this stuff. Like controllables are way better. Mm-hmm. And by the way, the Caps have won awards on that stuff for years and years and years. So that's a big part of it. But respectfully, to the people that are working really hard, when there's more Lions fans there than Commanders fans the entire second
half. It's an uphill climb.
And when you're getting blown out 28-0 by Seattle or 35-7 by Detroit or whatever it is, guess what? It's a lot less cool to be there.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what they're dealing with recently this year anyway. G&D on the Fan. I want to get into a couple of burning NFL storylines next. We'll also get ready for week 12 around the National Football League. And with this being a Commanders bye week this weekend, we'll take inventory on some of the players with expiring contracts this hour. Who needs to come back going into next year? This is the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.